Environmental Racism Panel has appointed its first ever 7 members. The panel has been established to meet the requirement for the Environmental Goals and Climate Change Reduction Act in Nova Scotia. The chair of the panel, Augie Jones, spoke about the creation of the panel with CKDU.
My specialty, in fact, is community engagement. So when government reached out for this panel, you had to make sure you had someone that had an expertise, because environmental racism is rooted in the stories of marginalized communities, especially Indigenous and African Nova Scotian. So you needed somebody that would not only be able to lead this panel into that work with community, but you also needed somebody who had credibility with the community. Oftentimes, government will name panels, community panels, and people will go, "Oh, gee, they're not really connected to us." So I think they thought that I would be basically a good connector to start the panel and then kind of go to the background once we meet and allow the experts to do their work.
Right. And how did you use this sort of community expertise to, because you were the one that chose the panel members, or how did that work out?
I would use the word recruit rather than choose. You know, when you talk about people with the, level of expertise and prestige as Dr. Gaynor Watson Creed or Mike Davis, who's the president and CEO of Davis Peer Consulting, or, you know, Angie Gillis and Lisa Young, who are high up in Mi'kmaq governance in the province, Karen Hudson, who is an award-winning principal out of Auburn, and she also has a specialty in environmental racism. To get this group together, you needed someone that could, I really had to recruit and convince these people to give their time to this project, because all of them are really busy. So my role was to, as if I was a sports coach recruiting people, you know, I had to do that. And to be honest, it took some convincing, and it took us 4 months to get the panel together. And so they needed someone to be able to do that, and I was able to do that.
And I don't know if you're able to talk on this a bit, but just kind of a brief understanding of what environmental racism is.
Well, I mean, I think that it's a fluid term at this point. Obviously, you know, Dr. Ingrid Waldron, who worked at Dow, started some of that work around, you know, environmental issues. So think about health concerns for any community around clean water, proper sewage, not having a municipal dump in your area where there's waste, and not having a factory putting its toxic waste into your community. So those 4 check marks, if you have those things happening in your community, it's toxic to the environment. And then the racism part comes in, because we've found that there's a disproportionate of Indigenous and Black communities, or African Nova Scotian communities, that have all of those toxic elements within them. So then you would ask yourself, well, why are factories in those areas? Why are dumps in those areas? Why don't those areas have clean water? Why don't those areas have proper sewage? And that's where the term environmental racism has come together recently. But I would say these factors existed way before the term. But I would say Dr. Ingrid Waldron and the book There's Something in the Water, and then Elliot Page helps to produce the documentary, that kind of made the term more well known. But it's just basically historically marginalized communities having companies and municipalities and industry partners doing negative things in their environment and in their community.
Is there any certain things that will be priority number one when the panel gets going?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to take a Sankofa method, which is, you know, it's an Afrocentric method around looking back to go forward. So the Sankofa bird, if you look it up, is a bird that's facing backwards and picking up a seed, but its feet are going forward. And that's pretty much our focus, is we have to start out by validating the historical instances of environmental racism. And so Boat Harbor and Pictou First Nation would be one of them. Shelburne and a Black community that has a dump beside it would be one of them. Africville is one of them. So we will take a historic look in order that we can, you know, kind of figure out what are the factors that make up environmental racism. But then going forward, as I say, with the Sankofa bird facing forward, it's more trying to link, you know, how, what can we do to eradicate these type of things happening to communities? And so what legislation, what policies do we need to put in place in order to protect communities? And then lastly, looking forward, is what climate change initiatives can we apply to these communities so that there's a healing or a restorative justice? So yes, you are a victim of environmental racism. So in order to heal that, we will make sure that you have solar energy, wind turbines, green energy, and some of the most innovative bells and whistles of climate change should be applied to these Indigenous and African Nova Scotian communities who have been a victim of environmental racism. So that's our focus.